Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 After. Thanks for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do there, articles and archives, hundreds and thousands of each one of those. And also got something there called a motivational minute, something you can read in a minute. And I think it'll, if you need a little bit of pep and energy and encouragement, I think you'll find that on every page. You can click on that, and I think it'll help you. Let me tell you about our guest this half hour. He's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Dr. Robert McTeer is the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. He's also a member of the Federal Open Market Committee and just an all-around great guy. He likes rock and roll and country music, so that makes him pretty cool in my eyes. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And also, you know, I think it's very interesting. It's really kind of a coincidence. I wish I could say I planned this, but it's just a really rich coincidence, Bob, that you're here today, because this is as close as you and I can get, this being Friday, this is as close as you and I can get this year to being on the show, as near to the birthday of Adam Smith. Did you know that? Tomorrow is the birthday of Adam Smith.
I think that one slipped by me.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to come to the, you got to hang around with me to get this kind of information, Bob.
Only on your show.
That's exactly right. Now tell the audience who Adam Smith is.
Well, Adam Smith, from our point of view, is sort of the biggest proponent of free enterprise. He sort of discovered it. He didn't invent it. He discovered it. But from a more general perspective, he's the father of economics. The Wealth of Nations was really the first comprehensive survey of what we now call economics, and very interestingly, it was published in 1776, the year of Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Independence.
And what's even more interesting, and folks, if you haven't read Adam Smith, and I'm looking at my copy of his book, by the way, it's up on my bookshelf in front of me here. I keep it where I can always reach it pretty quickly. It's not, I'm not going to call it an easy read, folks, because it's not an easy read, but there are so many wonderful nuggets in there that I like to go to. And Bob, here's the interesting thing about Adam Smith. And if you want to know how powerful what he has to say still is, ladies and gentlemen, today, right now, you can walk to any bookstore of any size at all, and you can find not one, but maybe a handful of different versions of Adam Smith's book still available on bookstores 220-something years later, almost 30 years later. That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yep, sure is.
Have you got a favorite Adam Smith story, a favorite example?
Oh, what comes to my mind right now is that I give a lot of speeches to high school teachers who are trying to learn enough economics to teach it in high school. And invariably it comes down to, well, if students are going to have a limited time, what should you teach first? What's the most important thing? And I always vote for Adam Smith's concept of the invisible hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that's what translates our human nature, our desire to improve ourselves. The invisible hand is what translates that into a general increase in welfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the communist ideal is from each according to his need, and to each according to his need, and from each according to his ability. The problem with that is the incentives don't work. If you're working for everybody, you're working for nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no incentive to be creative and work hard. There was actually a Soviet saying, they pretend to pay us, we pretend to work. But Adam Smith showed us how that each of us out there trying our best to improve our own station in life, improve our own wealth and income, the way you do that, of course, is to sell something valuable to something else, provide mm-hmm. a valuable service or produce a valuable good. And so each of us gets rich by serving our fellow man, even though that's not the intention. So to me, that's the most important thing.
That's
also, he came up with comparative advantage, which is the basis for free trade. It was refined a little bit by Ricardo.
Right.
He also illustrated the division and specialization of labor, which is what he said creates wealth in nations, which was very different from the prevailing view.
The division
time,
of labor
was money.
The division of labor and the example you gave of the invisible hand and the division of labor are his two most well-known examples. And also, I like his definition, his discussion of the difference between things, the value of things in use and things in exchange. Those are two
right.
good ones, too. Dr. Robert McTeer, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're going to talk about the world economy right after these messages and also the national economy and what the Fed's doing about that. 20 till. We'll be right back with Bob McTeer. Stay with us.
Yeah, I'm sitting on the...
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Dr. Robert McTeer, President of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas and a member of the Federal Open Market Committee. And, Bob, let's talk a little bit about the economy. Let's talk about, give us your usual excellent take on where you think the economy is right now.
Well, let me begin by giving you something hot off the press.
All right.
As we were chatting at the break, I was trying to write down some numbers off the TV screen. They just announced this morning that last month's job number was 248, which is quite good.
Thousand.
Very, very positive. 248,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they revised March up to 353.
Wow.
And they revised April up to 346.
Huh.
So... And earlier, they had revised January and February up. So job growth, we're finding out retrospectively, has been gangbusters since the beginning of this year. It's very, very strong. So strong that it probably will worry the bond market and so on and so forth. But generally, in answer to your question, growth has accelerated. It was 2% in the third quarter of last year, mm-hmm. and then 4.1, and in the first quarter, 4.4. That may be revised up again.
Mm-hmm.
And we're probably going to have better than 4.4 in the current quarter that we're two-thirds of the way through. It's more balanced than it was for a long time. We've got profits and we've got investment as well as consumption, which was carrying us for a while. So it's very, very positive.
Well, Bob, you may not remember, but one of my predictions, every year, the first of the year, I write about 20 predictions, 18 to 20 predictions, and one of the predictions that I made this year was that that we would end the year on December 31st with an average growth rate of 5% at least.
Yeah, I think that's... still a good call.
But when I wrote that, it wasn't. A lot of people said it wasn't a good call.
Oh yeah, you were way out on the edge. Well, that's no guts, no glory.
That's exactly right. of course, it wouldn't. You know, it won't be any. The only thing, I can't really take any big credit for that because there'd be no skin off my nose if it didn't make it. But although I will say that every year I come back when I make my new predictions, I come back and report how well I did the year before. And so I am honest about that. You know, you were talking about jobs. According to a report I saw, 61% of private industries surveyed have added workers. And here's another good, this is other good news. Capital spending now constitutes over 20% of the growth in the GDP.
Yeah, yeah.
That's real good news, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the Fed has been very accommodating. I think that's the word you guys use, Bob. And how long is that going to last?
Well, I could make the argument that it's going to last a long time by pointing out that rates are so low now that they could be a little bit higher and we'd still be accommodating.
Never know anything. That's exactly right. I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we've been at 1% target federal funds rate for quite a while now.
Which produces a 4% prime rate.
Which produces a 4% prime rate. And that 1% is negative in real terms. Even as low as inflation is, it's greater than that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to have to start up a little bit. But the last press release the FOMC issued suggested that we expected any increase to be measured, to use a Greenspan type term. And most people are interpreting measured to mean, slowly and steadily, but not drastically and fast.
Now, another prediction that I made, Bob, in January was that at the June 28th meeting, which is coming up, would be the first and the only time the Fed would raise rates in 2004.
Well, I can't really comment on that, I would bet you're more. You may get that half right, anyway.
Well, the reason I said that was because I felt that the Fed was going to let the economy, get its legs under it through the year. They knew that you guys would know that you needed to make some adjustments. You guys need to reload. You need some ammunition in your fight against inflation and deflation. But you need to reload.
We need to pause and sharpen our saw, right?
You sure do, and as you said, and you may have said so very well, even if you raise rates a whole point over the next, whatever time, even if you did a whole point, even though it would be shocking to the economies in June, if you raised a whole point, businesses wouldn't blink. Even small businesses could live with that because, as you say, the rates are so low.
Yeah, but if rates weren't 1%, everybody would think 2% was ridiculously low.
That's exactly right. And I still believe that you've got to do something before the elections, but you're going to want to do it early enough so that it doesn't look like you're influencing the election one way or the other. That's my basis for why I said that.
Right.
But what about petroleum? Let's talk about things that are really influencing, probably going to influence rates. Isn't the increase in petroleum an inflationary situation since crude oil is the oxygen of the economy?
Well, obviously, it's a big part of the economy, and higher prices there that are not offset somewhere will raise the price indexes. So, yeah, it's inflationary, and it's also some minor reason for slowing things down a little bit. It's both inflationary and contractionary, if you will. But let me make a couple of points about it. Number one,
Bob, would you hold on to that? I'm going to let you make those points on the other side of this commercial, and also I'm going to ask Bob about if he thinks we should be prepared to get used to $2 a gallon gas or maybe even more. We'll do that right after these messages. Tintail, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Bob McTeer is our guest. He's president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. And ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to check out their website. It's not your grandfather's Federal Reserve website. It's a rocking website, believe it or not. And it's at dallasfed.org. I encourage you. Their brand new annual report is out. They're always very – if you're a small business owner – you need to be reading the narrative portion of the Dallas Fed's annual report. Bob, congratulations. I know you got a brand new one out yet. I actually haven't gotten my copy, but once in the past, I have learned so much from them as a small business owner, and I want to thank you for that.
Sure. We enjoy doing those.
Well, and they can get them for free. If they go to the website, they can order one. You guys will send it to them for free, won't you?
Right.
Yeah, so that's dallasfed.org. And also you can find out more about Bob's writings. You can also they can link there to your poems too, can't they, Bob?
Yeah, just click on McTeer, then Rhymes Without Reason.
All right, check that out when you get a chance. And if we have time, I don't want you to leave without giving us some kind of a poem that you've written. Bob, but before we go any further, you had a couple of points you were going to give us as we went to the break.
Oh, I forgot what was the subject.
Well, we were talking about petroleum.
Oh, oil prices.
Yeah,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a difference whether oil prices and gas prices rise because of a restriction in supply or whether they rise because of growing demand. And the supply disruption is much harder on the economy.
Right.
And this one's demand, so that's
it's global demand,
that's positive.
Isn't it?
And another thing is just to put the current prices in perspective. You know, $40 oil now isn't the same as $40 oil a couple of decades ago.
Right.
Right now, it'd have to be $75 or $80 to be equivalent to what $40 was the last time it hit $40.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is the economy has become much more energy efficient in the last decade or two. In
right.
other words, any given increase in oil prices has less of an impact than it used to have. Now, I'm not trying to say this doesn't have an impact, but I think we ought to keep it in perspective.
Well, and also, Bob, I've been saying that when I look around and I see some of the influences that you mentioned, and I realize that that we've got a production challenge. We're almost maxed out on capacity and I say production, I'm talking about of gasoline,
refinery, yeah.
of refinery capacity. We're almost maxed out, pretty much maxed out on the production of crude itself. I mean, those guys are working just about as hard as they can, and still we have all this global demand. That's the reason I say we need to get used to $2 or $2 plus gasoline in the United States.
Yeah, I don't want to make a prediction, but I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't along those lines for a good while.
Right. And, of course, if it is, that's going to be somewhat inflationary, and that's going to impact the decisions you guys make in the FOMC, isn't it, Bob?
Well, we'll react to overall inflation, and to the extent that it contributes to that, it'll be part of the mix.
Well, is there anything out there that contributes more in a broad brush way than petroleum does?
Well, it's probably very key, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Bob, you're not a voting member this year, are you?
Not this year.
Yeah, will you be next year?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, so many years, Bob, one of the good things about the way things are right now is for so many years I was having to, you know, I was encouraging you to lower rates, and so I haven't had to kind of to do that in a while, and I'm sure that kind of takes a lot of the pressure off of you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes these conversations more tolerable.
Yeah, I know. I know you're always worried about the kind of pressure I'm going to put on you, Bobby. Have you got a poem for us?
Well, last time I was in New York, I was interviewed by Kathleen Hayes on CNN-FN, and as you probably know, she used to be on CNBC.
Right.
And she had nicknames, so I wrote a little poem for her. Hope I can remember it. It's good to be back in New York, the home of limousines, Bond Bells, and Econo Queens, where things aren't quite what they seem, where the expected is expected earlier than expected, where people are becoming impatient with patience. But to get out of the maze, they tune in to Kathleen Hayes.
That's a good one. You know, folks, only on the Small Business Advocate Show do you get one of the world's most renowned economists reciting poetry. I mean, you got to come to this show to get this kind of stuff.
Jim, do you have time to ask me about my rug?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to. I've got 30 seconds. Tell us about the. I'm glad you reminded me. You've got a rug for that you're having made in memory of
my old high school principal's wife. Is in the business of handmade rugs, very fine handmade rugs. And
yeah.
She's making one for me. And she allows you to put little things in there, incorporated into the design of the rug.
Right.
And among other things, I was going to put Adam Smith and Bastiat.
Right.
I couldn't find a profile of Bastiat. Most of his books.
I've got one.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's too late now. She's putting two profiles of Adam Smith in my rug.
All right. Well, I'd love to see that. I need to contact her so I can get my own rug. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Bob, for being here. Good job.
Okay, Jim. Thanks.
Bob McTeer, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too, but not till the next show. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.